Début du dialogue 18.
In the 1980s, you had to type in long strings of letters and symbols to get a computer to work. Since then, manufacturers have made information technology easy for users. Now people simply use computers and think nothing of it. But you say it's important for people to understand IT.
Understanding IT is indispensable because today's world consists of computers that we put our bodies into and that we put inside our bodies. Smart buildings, robotic limbs, soon self-driving cars. Tomorrow, everything we do will require the internet.
But isn't it very difficult for the non-specialist to understand IT?
We've got to speak to the ordinary users of IT in such a way that they find parallels in their everyday lives. Open source software, for example. The key thing about open source software is that you have the freedom to change it to meet your needs. When I tried to explain the significance of this to my audiences, they invariably responded with blank stares. But you've heard of Delia Smith?
Of course, she's an English cook, television presenter and a best-selling cookery author.
Well, I took along to my lectures a copy of Delia Smith's Complete Cookery Course. I put up a slide showing a recipe for gratin dauphinois, where one of the ingredients is double cream. Now, I said, double cream isn't good for me, so I'd like to substitute single cream in the recipe. Can you imagine a world in which if I wanted to do that, I'd have to get Delia's written permission and possibly pay her a fee? Wouldn't that be absurd? Suddenly, my audience got it. Computer programs are recipes, and everyone understands recipes.
Yes, but why do you say it's indispensable for us all to understand IT?
There are serious problems with the computers we use today. They're all very badly secured. I regularly give talks about the many different ways that insecure computers put us all at risk. Once, a woman in the audience put up her hand and said, "Well, you've scared the wits out of me. Now what do I do? How do I make my computer secure?"
Aha, good question. So what answer did you give the lady?
Say I spent an hour telling you about waterborne parasites. If I told you that inadequate water treatment puts you and your family at risk of horrifying illness and painful death, if I explained that our very civilization is at risk because the intelligence services are keeping information about pathogens secret because they want to use them as weapons, though nobody is working on a cure, then you wouldn't ask me, how can I purify water coming out of my tap?
Of course not. In that case, we'd demand that the government treat our water supply seriously and effectively.
Obviously, because when it comes to public health, individual action only gets you so far. It doesn't matter how good your water is. If your neighbour's water gives him cholera, there's a good chance you'll get cholera too. This health analogy is eloquent. Much of what we do today involves the internet. Everything we do tomorrow will require the internet. If you live near a nuclear power plant, fly in aeroplanes, keep money in the bank, carry a phone, your safety and well-being depend on robust network security.
Yes.
We'd never allow the Secret Service to suppress information on curing typhus, so they could attack terrorists by infecting them with it. Now, in the last year or two, we've learnt that spies are spying on all of us all of the time.
Yes, everyone is aware of that now.
We've also learnt that the spies are actively sabotaging all of our IT infrastructure so that they can continue to spy on us. The Secret Service is suppressing information that would enable us to fix the bugs in our computers, phones, cars, planes. This can't be allowed to continue because you can't weaken IT security in a way that makes it possible to spy on bad guys without making all of us vulnerable to bad guys too. The tactic of weakening the nation's information security is totally incompatible with the goal of national security.
Fin du dialogue 18.